Hello, as a shout, sorry. Welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the caramel kid?
What? My ears are hurting. What?
Sorry.
That's surely Sean the White Devil was saying. Well,
he's happy. He's back in the Never regions, the Netherlands. He's enjoying being here. Got back last night, so that was quite nice on the train. Been in London and in Germany doing my mountain race last week, so yeah. But we'll talk about why I was in London for the a bit later on. But what have you been up to? You've been busy?
Yeah, I've been working crazy, huh? So yeah. I'm coming from Tottenham Court Road, going to down Charing Cross Roads, obviously to Charing Cross.
On the bus, yeah. Someone asked me the other day, what bus are you on?
I'm a variety of buses. I don't want people getting on and trying to report it, especially these running out of people. It's top secret, you know. When I tell you a story, I can tell you what bus I'm on.
Let's just say a London bus near Tottenham Court Road. Go, carry on with the story.
So, obviously, going through the tourist parts of London, loads of people walk across the road, but not at the crossings.
Yeah.
Because traffic's usually slow moving, so they can get away with it. So I'm driving along. There's obviously a stop coming, and these two ladies want to cross right in front of the bus, but they can see me pulling in. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? You're not crossing in front of this bus. So I speed up a little bit to make sure they can't step into the road. And then instead of going behind the bus and then, you know, like let me pass and going behind,
yeah,
they keep trying to walk forward to go in front of the bus,
yeah,
whilst I'm pulling in.
Yeah.
And there's this old man waiting for the bus, and he thinks the women are trying to push in front of him to get on the bus.
No.
So then I stop at the stop, and then they sort of like, they don't crash into the people, but there's loads of people waiting to get on the bus, so the two ladies,
yeah,
can't get past to get in front of the bus.
Yeah.
So I open the doors, and the old man hits the women with his walking stick. And then they start having a go. He's so irate and mad, he can't get his words out.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, you fat dee-dee. It was so funny. And all they wanted to do is cross the road.
Yeah.
And I got them hit with a stick and abused. I was thinking, oh, that's my bad.
So lessons learned. Don't push in front of old blokes on the bus. It hit you. And try and cross at a proper crossing. If you're in London, those are the two lessons you need to learn from that story. Come on, behave. You been running? You been out and doing any miles?
I've been doing some secret stuff, but obviously not very fast. Putting holes in some tracks.
Okay, nice. Holes in tracks?
Yeah, because I weigh a lot, don't I? So I've got divots in them.
Yeah. But getting ready, we've been looking at the, because you're over here in Amsterdam in October, we've been looking at the Utrecht single lope 10K.
What, is that super duper fast, yeah?
Well, it's only the fastest 10K course in world history. The world record.
I'm going to be water boy at the back.
Yeah. But that's on the weekend you're here, I think. So it's the fastest 10K in history. So we'll have to sign up to that.
I better sign up to that.
I don't know if we can both go dressed up as a fancy dress, because it's going to be a bit of a tough one. But yeah, we'll have to do it.
But yeah, we better sign up before closing date, yeah?
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. And my training's going well. I'm out later for a fartlek. We're going to be talking next week to my coach, actually, Martin Cox, a bit of information about what I'm training, I'm doing, and the skills you need to be run hills well, run mountains well. So that should be quite interesting.
So what's your next big race?
Next big race is, I've got a couple. One called Tion Dixence, which is on the 4th of August, which is over in, I think it's Hermance or something. I mean, I'm so confused of where I'm going, but we're somewhere around there. And then there's another
one. Country is that?
In Switzerland. Two races in Switzerland, back to back. Two races, yeah. So that should be interesting. But actually, speaking of mountains, there's been the European Mountain Running Championship this weekend, which I obviously did not qualify for. But there was the British team won 4 golds, I think. They won the individual men's senior title from Jacob Adkin. He won. Bit of a surprise that I remember Jacob when I the only year I ever did mountain running. Jacob was, you know, you would never have guessed this guy would blossom into like one of the best mountain runners in the world. He's amazing. He won the European Championships by about 25 seconds. That's pretty impressive. I think
you wouldn't imagine blossoming. What did he look like? A rake or something?
Well, just a little. He just looks like a young guy. Do you know what I mean? He was. I suppose you've got to be thin and lithe to be outrunner because you want to carry any weight up those hills. But yeah, he was. Yeah, you would never expect them. I mean, he wasn't the champion. He wasn't the best in his age group when I was there necessarily. But yeah, he was a really nice guy, really focused, and he's gone on to be, you know, the best, one of the best runners in the world at mountain running. So impressive.
That's good.
The team won gold in the men's, and then the junior men's Duggan, a guy called Joe Duggan, I think Joseph Duggan. He was he won that title, and in the women's we had Sarah Tunstall was the first lady back in fourth place. So I think we got another couple of team medals out of that too. So amazing that Britain's running so well on the old uphill mountain running, because it's not really a place you'd find in very many mountains. But we'll talk to Martin next week about how you can, if you fancy giving them a go, what sort of training you probably need to include. So that's a good one next week for some training tips. So tune in for that one. But I suppose there's no real news we're going to bring, because this show is all news, essentially. So we talked a lot about over the last few weeks about the night of the 10,000 metres. Now, this is a race that took place at Highgate. It was the British Championships, but it was also the European Cup. So a lot of the best runners in Europe come over to this event. And it's not just a series of races. There's nine races through the day, but there's loads of stuff going on around it. So it was on the BBC, the BBC iPlayer. You still can get it on the iPlayer, I think, if you want to watch it. And there was music, and there was food, and there was things.
Naked man in his pants.
There was a naked man. That was funny, that guy, because there's a man from Runderwear. They put together a gong. So on the last lap, instead of a bell, you had a gong. But there was this guy. It was really funny. Like he was not massive, and he was not rich.
He was chunky.
He was chunky. He was like it was not one or the other. He was a fairly big man with he was pretty muscly. Yeah, he's all golden. Yeah,
keeping it realistic, you know, like for the like general population.
Exactly. So they can't
They can't have a gym bunny. They can't have an athlete.
Yeah.
So let's just get someone off the street.
Good point. Accessible. Accessible stuff. So he was banging the gong at the end of every lap. That was nice. And you could walk over the top of the course. There's a bridge that went over the race. So you could watch from above, which is pretty cool. But also you could stand in a bar on lane three on the back straight. So you could be having a beer while watching elite athletes from across Europe racing. So if you have any Americans listening, I think you can probably check it out somewhere. Vinco Sports is where it was all streamed. So have a little look.
There were so many marquees, especially the one on the home straight. Yeah. You couldn't see their runners doing their sprint finish.
Yeah. It got busy, but there was a lot of people around. But it was really good in terms of like, for runners specifically, it was a really good event because like the atmosphere was so good. And what we tried,
they had a new system, didn't they? That the light thing.
Oh yeah. Wave. We'll talk about that in a minute. So we'll talk about. I've kind of what I did on the day is I was there with my microphone, which was like basically a little furry stick that I was shoving in people's faces. I did get into trouble a few times of doing things at the wrong time, but we'll talk about that again in a minute. But I was there just trying to grab some interviews through the course of the day. So what I've tried to do is think about what I think kind of tells the story of the event. And I've made some little notes now. I've got some interviews to go along with it. So the first thing I thought was interesting was like, I saw like the first couple of races, mainly there were mainly male races. And it was noticeable how hard these guys were trying. So it's quite hot in the day. You get all these pictures of these guys, like 25 guys just laid out on the track after 25 laps. Absolutely busted. And it was amazing how, like, I was thinking how we spend months of the year just to go to a track and hurt ourselves. It's really weird. We are weird people.
You have to be mad to be a runner. You've got to be mad, because who runs around, who enjoys running around in circles,
god, and for 25 laps? It's crazy. So all you listeners here, if you have never run 10,000 meters on the track, it's something you've got to experience, because I think it's harder than a half marathon and a marathon, because the concentration it takes. If you're not having a good run, you know you're not having a good run, and it quickly becomes apparent, and it's really hard mentally to concentrate.
That's why they reckon this race, particular night of the 10K, is a bit easier to do a 10K on the track, because there's so much activity and distraction.
Yeah.
It takes your mind off of the constant, 19 laps left, you know, like, 15 laps left.
Yeah.
Because you're running around, you get the buzz. You, so it's like you've got good energy distractions.
Yeah.
To get so they reckon it's mentally, this one's easier 10K to do.
Yeah. And the first person, one thing I thought was quite a lot of kind of, let's say, the older chaps seem to excel at this thing. So the first interview I got was with the winner of, I think, of the E race, E or D, I'm not sure, but his name's Will Green. We've spoken about Will Green before on our Serpentine Club Focus show, because Will's now in his 40s, he's 44, but this year he's had a bit of a, well, he's on an upward trajectory. He's run PBs at half marathon, marathon, and now 10 days of maintenance on the track. So he won his race, and I thought it was quite inspiring to see, like, that he was talking about the number of over 40s in the UK and across the world who are doing so well, which brings us obviously to other news in the Gold Coast Marathon. Bernard Lagat, 44, he ran 2:12 in the Gold Coast Marathon, which is absolutely amazing. So what, I think what I drew from that was, like, I was going to say Aaliyah's age, so, but a number.
What you drew from that is, like, Dixon's making a comeback.
You can still do it, guys. If you're in your 40s, you can still run PBs. And Will Green, who's going to come up on this interview now, is testament to that. So here's Will.
So I'm here speaking with Will Green, winner of the E-Race. How are you feeling now?
Okay, I'm still a bit dazed after the race, so excuse any answers.
And describe how it was. Well, how did you feel during the race?
It's good. I mean, it's obviously the event is fantastic, and you know, I wanted to run under 31 was my sort of aim.
Yeah.
I think the pace was out at 15:15, which is a bit quick.
Yeah.
But then it just looked like people weren't quite there, pace to drop back, and I just sort of slotted in, really. I wasn't expecting to be near the front, to be honest, but I also knew that I had to get around 15:25, so that was seemed to be where doing 15:25 took me. But I was a bit surprised to be just behind the pacer at halfway with as one or two others.
Yeah. And what was that last K like then? Were you on your own that last kilometre?
It was tough, to be honest. You sort of try and visualise it a bit beforehand, don't you? And you think, and when you're in the PB mode or you're in the PB pace and the crowd's here, it helps. But yeah, it hurt like hell. Yeah. I mean, I was grimacing. I was trying to smile, but I didn't.
I saw the gun.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. It was meant to be smiling, but it doesn't work at all, does it?
And you've run really well, like a marathon, half marathon this year.
So
how would you describe the challenge, like, of this, the 10,000 metres on the track, compared to those races that you've done?
Yeah, I think the thing is, you've got to be prepared for the intensity kicks in earlier. You know, you're working harder. So marathon's a bit of a slow burn. You know, you need to be hanging, really digging in. This is, you know, you've got to pace it well. Know if you get the pacing wrong, it's going to be a hard race.
Yeah.
But you're probably not running that far off your 5K pace as well.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a couple of seconds a lap. And that, you know, that's fine margins reasonably. So yeah, by 3K, thinking, yeah, you can feel it. 5, okay, and then you just, yeah, it's starting to burn after that, isn't it? Yeah. I find.
And at 45 now, what keeps you coming back for more?
Well, 44. Coming to 45. Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm lucky enough. I'm still managing to do some PBs, which is lovely. But also, if you look around the group of runners who are, like, you know, even, I mean, out of E40, you've got like some Torrey and others. You know, there's some fantastic runners. I mean, Declan Reid, I think, was V45, was in our race, and he's ran sub 31. So, you know, you look at everyone else, there's a lot of people doing it. It's great to me. You see the UK rankings, you think you can challenge it. You see others doing it. It's just huge motivation. And then you've got an event like this, and you get to run it, and it is superb. You know?
And the atmosphere even now was pretty good.
Oh, because you sort of think you're in an early race, and you think, well, obviously, because there's a lot of people who are a hell of a lot faster than you, and you wonder what it's going to be like. But it was amazing. It was truly amazing. I would say one of my top ever running experiences. You know, you don't expect to be, well, I never expected to be, I know it's only race two, but you know, you're at the front there, you've got a huge crowd, you're digging in, you think, yeah, actually, and you're getting a PB.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, you know, it is the night of the PBs, it doesn't happen very often, does it? You know.
Nice one, Will. Cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cheers,
so, nice interview there with nice chat there with Will. Obviously a bit of background noise there, you can get a sense of what was going on. That was early in the day, so that's probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it got even more hectic later on. But another thing I thought that characterised it was the amount of, like, people from just all over Europe that came along, even if they weren't in the European Cup. There was loads of people coming.
I thought you were going to say European Union then.
Even if they weren't from the European Union. Yeah. Yeah, there was loads of all over. It was amazing. Loads of different nationalities involved. And I don't think you could really say there was that many English winners. Like, there was all, you know, English-born winners at the race. So it was really good to see that. And on the next two interviews, actually, before I should say that, I did. You know, we had our bets. So we had, we bet each other.
Well,
you win.
Steph 12 won the women, so none of us got that.
No. But do you remember I said a Swiss woman? I guess that Swiss woman, Fabienne Schlumpf, would be the winner. So I saw this woman dressed up in a Swiss uniform on the side of the race. So I went up to her and started talking to her, and I scared the living daylights out of her. She didn't know what I was talking about. She definitely wasn't Fabiana Schlumpf. And Fabiana Schlumpf didn't even turn up, so that was quite weird. But
so basically, you had Mr. Identity, yeah?
Yeah.
Mistaken identity.
Yeah, yeah. I was just this annoying guy walking around with a microphone. But anyway, but what was interesting was that amount of people who are travelling over, like... For me, I don't travel that far for a race, but people coming over from miles away. And I've interviewed two people. One of them is Gert Jorisma. So Gert is a really nice guy. He lives over in the Netherlands. I've raced him loads. He's one of the best cross-country runners over in Holland. Young guy. He was involved in, I think it might have been the D race, where Jermaine's crashing stuff around. Where he led from 5K through to finish. He had a guy sitting on his shoulder the whole way who nicked him with about 300 to go, which is a bit of a shame, indeed. But still, that's racing. That's how it goes. But we talked to him. He's from Snake, which is in the Netherlands, and he'll talk to him about us about why he came over and sort of how this race has grown abroad. And also the second was Hannah Verbruggen. So Hannah won the sea race, and that was the strange race, really. She was miles behind. So this is the one I was talking to about the officials being weren't sure what
they
was really
see
going
the
on. So they're expecting, I think it might have been Danny Nimmock and one other who's two British runners. They were well ahead. So they were expecting, they were coming to the bow lap and they're expecting these guys to be in front. And all of a sudden, this Hannah Verbruggen's there. And they're like, where does she come from? Where the hell is she come? Because they couldn't see part of the race. So yeah, she won. She was so ecstatic and she's going to come up. We're going to have Gert first and then Hannah the next two interviews. Here we go.
So I'm speaking to the second place finisher in the D race here at Highgate.
Gert Jorisma, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
so you're from the Netherlands. We've met a few times.
Yes, yes.
We've raced a lot. You've usually come out on top.
Yeah, it was close. I think you beat me also a few times. yeah. Definitely close always.
How was your race? Firstly, you're from, is it Snake?
Snake, yeah.
So whereabouts, for our listeners, whereabouts is that in England?
It's in the north of the Netherlands. Okay. Yeah, you pronounce the snake like the animal, but it's written like S-N-E-E-K.
Okay.
It's a village in the north of the Netherlands.
Okay. So how do you know about this race? What brings you over to London to race this
race? Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Then I also raced in 2017.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got to the race, but I knew some other guys were also going.
Yeah.
Tom Hendricks from the Netherlands. And we decided to also join. And we looked at the video on YouTube and it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like a great race. And
you kept coming back.
Yeah. Last year I did not go.
Yeah.
But this year again, yeah. It was a great experience also the first time.
Yeah. Let's think about the race itself. That you were... You sort of you basically there's two of you going in for the race. When did you two break away from the rest of the pack?
Well, I was a little bit back in the pack because the start was really quick. So the first lap I saw like 67.
Yeah.
And I was like 68 or something. I was like we were running now 28 low pace, so that's a bit too quick for me.
Yeah.
So I just be patient. And just hold back, so it was like a 20th position for a long time.
Yeah.
And at 4.6k, I was still there.
Yeah.
And suddenly everybody started to fall back, so I could maintain the pace.
Yeah.
And I could move up really quick through the field.
Okay.
And at 5k, I came in the front.
Yeah.
And I just pushed it because I wanted to see it run the good time and
yeah.
the wave light, so I could see how it was going.
Yeah.
But then I was pushing in front, and I was like, somebody take over, so go to the outside lane. Nobody wanted to, so I just keep on pushing in front.
Yeah.
And then the last 300 meters, a guy passed me and outsprinted me. But so it was a hard second half, but I'm very happy because I think 25, 26 second PB.
Oh, great.
So to run it this way, I'm very happy.
Yeah, and do you think the atmosphere helped? Because you recently ran the Dutch 10,000 meter championship.
Yes, yes.
How did that go? Was that similar?
Yeah, the thing was, it was really windy there.
Yeah.
Like the toilets at the start rate of the race, they were all falling over because it was so windy. So
nice.
It was just storm. So I had a good race there, I think. I ran 30:52, but it was so... I'm a lightweight as a runner.
Okay.
I'm not like a strength runner. I really am lightweight, so then...
the wind really killed me there.
Yeah, okay.
So now it was a lot better, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, this was perfect.
Like, we're quite early on in the day, but how is the atmosphere? Because you run later in the previous edition.
Yeah.
Is the atmosphere still good during the day?
Yeah, definitely. There's still a lot of people. It's a lot of screaming and music, so it's great. It really helps, I think, especially in a distance. I think like 1500 meter, it's so short, you can always run fast.
Yeah.
But in the 10,000, it's so long. You have a lot of time to think, you know?
Yeah.
So it really helps if there's a lot of people just cheering you on and going crazy.
Yeah.
It's great, yeah, yeah.
And how would you compare, like, because you won a marathon recently, you won the Enschede?
Enschede. Enschede.
My pronunciation. I've lived in Netherlands.
That's a hard Dutch word, for sure.
How would you describe, like, the pain of this? Because it's quite a challenging race, to 25 laps on a track.
Yeah, I think this was definitely a lot harder than my marathon.
Yeah.
Because I kind of went in the marathon like as a training, just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And, well, I was just feeling so fresh still at 35K. So it was only the last 5K, got a little bit hard. But this was totally different. This was just, at 5K I was already hurting a lot. So just hammering, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
It's a lot more intense than the marathon.
Yeah.
But I never ran a marathon going...
100%. Just,
like really... like dying at the end. I've never done that yet, so.
Yeah, and will it keep you coming back? Are you going to come back next year? I suppose you'll be on a faster race next year. Given
I really like it here, so.
Yeah.
I always have to see every season, so nothing planned, of course, yet, but there's a good chance for sure.
Okay, great.
It's a great race.
Yeah.
I love it here, so.
And I'm looking forward to locking horns with you in a few more races coming up soon. We'll have to have another battle.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that would be nice. I see you doing a mountain race now, right?
Yeah. It's the new way to go. Much easier.
Yeah.
Less competition so far.
We should do some cross country.
Definitely. Nice. Well, nice for chatting.
What?
Thanks for chatting.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Good to
thank
chat.
You for the interview.
No worries. So I'm speaking to Hannover Bruggen,
yes.
The winner of the sea race.
It's correct.
And I think, how did it go?
The first 5K, it was very chill, easy. And then I take a risk to go a little bit faster and we will see it. And when I crossed the finish line, I saw that I've run a PB, so I'm very happy.
Nice one. I was just talking to the people at the officials, and they said they couldn't believe you'd won, because the two were in the front, and suddenly, out of nowhere, you came around and had a really big lead.
Yeah.
Was that planned, or you just felt great?
Before, I can't believe it, but my shape is very good. I'm training for a marathon, so... When it's longer, I have to run. It's going better.
Okay. And whereabouts are you from?
Belgium.
And how do you know about this race? How did you come to?
The year before, I will run the 10K, but 2 days before, they said you can't run. So this year, I sent a mail to the Belgium team, but they forgot me to inscribe me in the fast race.
No.
So I have to run in the slowest race, but I ran PB, so...
Yeah, great. And what was it like? Because I know later in the day, the atmosphere is really great. What's it like there now? Is it the atmosphere on the track?
Oh, it's... very, very nice. I have a lot of adrenaline.
Okay.
So in Belgium, they can learn about it.
Okay. So there's nothing like it in Belgium.
No. There are some people who are crying, but like here, everywhere there are people who are crying, come on.
Not just a man or the dog.
No. Everybody.
And what's next? Have you seen the marathons coming up soon?
My next race will be the 10K on roads, Belgian Championship.
Okay.
In the 1st September, I will run the 5K on the track, also Belgian Championship. And 29th September, I will run the marathon in Berlin.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the last question I should ask is, what was that experience like coming across the line to win? Was it...
I was flying, I think.
And still are now.
Yeah. I can't imagine that I run a PB. So
okay.
Maybe this evening.
It will come.
Now
down.
I'm going to eat a big ice cream, I think.
Do it. Lovely. Well done, Hannah. Nice one. Thank you.
And so we heard there as well on Gert's interview about Wavelight. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And
LED going for an inside.
LED, yeah. So it was interesting. It was. I mean, I didn't use it, so I don't know. But there was some good feedback from people running around there watching the women's race. Eilish really used it. She was on it, bang on, through 25 laps. Eilish came third in the women's A race. So we spoke to Bram Som. So do you know Bram Som, right? He's the world's greatest pacemaker. Yeah, he's so good as a pacer. He's just, if you know that Bram Som's in it, you know that it's going to be running the right time. I remember him always pacing Rhodesia to incredible times. But he's
he invented this.
I don't know if he invented it, but he's part of the team behind it. So he was there, okay. And he brought it over, and he was there to promote. He also did a Q&A in the middle of the day talking about his experience as an athlete. So we're going to talk to Bram now.
So basically, he thought, I'm getting on. I can't pace anymore. Yeah. So how can I make money? Let me do some lights and put my name on it.
That's it. He's got it. Clever fella. So he was over, he was doing that, and we're going to speak to him now.
So I'm talking to Bram Som, who I know, I don't know personally because I've never met you, but as a man who you know you can set as a pacer, is always going to hit the damn time. But you're not pacing this, obviously you're not pacing this year, you're not out in Diamond Leagues at the moment and doing that sort of thing. What brought you over to watch this race?
I've paced some races in the Diamond League, but... Yeah. I'm also involved in representing the Wavelight here, the Wavelight system.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not a real pacer, but I'll make sure.
But you're good at it. So you're here with the technology you bring.
The Wavelight technology. Yeah. Okay. So we're working there here already on for more than 2 years, and now finally picking up some competitions and. We like it.
Cool, nice. So, what is it? It's LED lights that run along the outside of the.
It's our 400 LED lights.
Okay.
Two different colors. We can set the pace, you know, and so it's really good for spectators, you know, to see how the athletes behaving to the certain time, you know.
And you could see in the last race with Ailish McColgan, who was third place, she was following that light around, and it really helped her to keep going.
So
is it ratified by competitions? Are you allowed to use it for certain like European competitions? Like
It's allowed. It's allowed, and they will change the rules, the IWF rules, so they'll be allowed maybe this year already, and for sure next year in also the Diamond Leagues.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So what have you thought about the event itself? Have you enjoyed being down here watching?
Yeah, I really like it. It's amazing to see, you know, how the crowd is doing it's good. I really like it to be here.
Because there's not much. I know there's races like a Hengelo there's other, the Golden Spike in Leiden, but there's nothing quite the same in terms of the atmosphere, I guess.
No, but I think it's different to copy, you know, a certain race. You know, the spectators will be different in Holland than here, you know. I think the athletics will be a little bit bigger, you know, has more stars here in Great Britain than in Holland. But it's, you know, it's good to see what you can achieve, you know. And so you have to pick the right things from these kind of competitions and try to copy it, you know, to Holland and see what's working and what's not working. Yeah. And really, great job for Ben, you know, who built this up and, you know, tried several things, you know, and see what's working, you know, and I think organizers can learn a lot from this kind of meets.
Yeah, and would you ever persuade yourself to get back and do a few sessions to get yourself ready for a 10K and come back next year and compete, or do you think?
I definitely will compete this year. Cool. For sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
So nice to chat with Bram. It didn't work universally for everybody, Wavelight. So lots of people ran really well.
You know, in the A race, men's A race.
Yeah.
They were miles off the pace.
Yeah.
And the light was like well ahead of them.
Yeah.
So you think, and in the end they turned it off.
Did they? But, I didn't notice that.
But in the last couple of laps, obviously they were running super quick. And I wouldn't say they caught it up, but they almost caught it up.
Oh, really?
But they would have if they've left it on.
Oh, wow. I mean,
if they left it on, then obviously you think, okay, we've caught it back up. But yeah, I think it was quite good.
Yeah.
Because it's good for the spectators to know how fast they're going.
Yeah, it definitely was, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say the women's race, they were miles ahead, so you knew everyone was running amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And so our next interview actually was someone who did comment on Wavelight, but it wasn't the fault of Wavelight, but he went out way too quick. So it's Matt Clowes. He's been carving up the British road scene this summer. He's been winning race after race, half marathon, 10K, but he ran and he didn't have such a good race. So it's nice to hear his perspective, and here it is coming up now.
So we're in the tent here with Matt Clowes after a disappointing run. Matt, didn't go so well.
No, not at all.
But you've been running so well on the roads, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I know. To be honest, what it is I went off too hard, firstly. Yeah. I'm not used to that pace, to be honest. Okay. Like,
what did you go through the first few laps in?
Well, I was on pace 29 flat, which, to be honest, a bit stupid, really.
Right, okay.
But, no, road racing's my bag.
Okay.
And set me on the track. I've done no track work. I've the first time I've ran Spikes for 2 years.
Jesus.
So, yeah. And the humidity as well. Like, yeah. Same in London last year in the marathon. Like, the humidity just kills me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I was hurting. Yeah. But I just couldn't press on.
Okay.
It was weird. Like, I never felt tired, but never felt like I could go.
Okay. All right.
I had plenty left. Just the humidity and just tired legs. Yeah. I don't know.
And what's it like? Cause mentally, I reckon this is 10,000 metres on the track is harder, or as hard as a marathon. Just because it's so, the mental game's got to be absolutely spot on, isn't it? Do you think it was half? What were you thinking going through the race?
To be honest, the mental bit of it's fine for me. Like I love half marathons. A half marathon's my bag because you can think.
Yeah.
10K is a little bit different. You got to go a bit more, and that's why I've been training more for the halves. And you know, I've not run anything like mile reps and anything below like 4:45.
Okay.
So
right.
Like, just a bit of a shock, to be honest. And yeah. it's just good to come down here and. You know, it's a great atmosphere. So
yeah, even now it's been a couple of years ago. It's not been as loud as early. But now, it's been
to be honest, like I ran this a few years ago, and I ran all right. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I think I'm in better shape now, strength wise. But
yeah,
I haven't got the kick like I used to. I've not got that turnover. But
yeah,
everything pushing towards Berlin now and take a little break, reassess. I've raced every week for 6 weeks, so I maybe just need a bit of time off. A whole half and 10K. So
yeah.
But I think, to be honest, the first 5K for me, I like to go a bit slower, but I got caught in the lights.
Really?
With the lights, you know, just trying to sit in with the lights. But it was fun, I enjoyed it. Like, you know, it's running at the end of the day, we do because we love it, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly, yeah. There's a photo someone was showing, right, of all the guys after, I don't know, maybe this D-race. Everybody just completely crashed out on the floor. And I think we spend months and months to put ourselves on that floor.
Exactly, like, I said to my girlfriend, she's a runner as well, and, you know, she's really supportive, and she's just, you know, I just say to her, you just run as hard as you can, and that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so bad. We do it for a laugh, don't we?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't take it serious.
Yeah.
So, but it's fine. It's fine now. A few beers now and reassess and get ready for the autumn, I think.
Perfect. Nice one. Good luck in Berlin.
Cheers. Thanks very much. Cheers.
And a nice one there for Matt. Hopefully he has a good run at Berlin in a few months' time. Like, the other thing I thought was quite, there's some good stories around the race. So one particularly I thought was interesting was one of the winners called Mohammed. Now, do you know Mohammed? He's not the one.
Yeah, he's in
he's not the from Southampton. It's Mohammed from Hillingdon.
Oh.
Do you know him?
Called Mohammed. No, I don't know that one then.
So Mohammed is an interesting character. He's been around for 9 years in the UK. So he came to London at London 2012. So he's from Somalia. And he was one of only two runners that competed under the Somalian flag. Him and a girl called Sam Farrar. And do you remember this story? They came over. And so Sam Farrar, she ran in the 400 metres. But she came over and she received loads of death threats because she wore shorts. She wasn't covered up from various fundamentalists. And obviously Mo was there as well. I don't know if Mo suffered in the same way. But they couldn't go back. So they came over. They raced in the Olympics. I think he ran 1500 metres, Mohammed. And they ended up staying. So we're going to speak hopefully to Sam in a couple of weeks' time about her experience and what happened during that race. But Mohammed, he started off really well when he came over because obviously he was fit from the Olympics. But he's had up and down years. I've raced against him a lot in the Met League before. And he's either winning the race or he's nowhere to be seen. And I think he's interesting because he won his race and really, really well. I think he was low 29 minutes. And we had a quick chat with him after his race, and here it is now.
So, the winner of the sea race, Mohammed, how was that, man? Was it good?
Really, it's very good. And I come here, my first 10,000 meter track. Really, I'm very happy to win and run a good BB 29 minutes. Really, I'm very happy.
And you're training here in London?
I run for Hillingdon Athletics Club.
Yeah.
I live in West London. And really, I'm very happy,
Yeah. Because I was going to speak to, is it Samata Farah? She was also in the Somalia team with you back in 2012.
Olympic. I come here to win 12 Olympic Games, okay. And I run for 1500 meter. And then when they finish Olympic, I stay here. Okay. And then I live here now. I run for Hillingdon Athletics Club.
Yeah.
Up to that time, my training is good, but when I fit, I come back injury.
Yeah.
And I'm really now it's when it's starting for summer, I'm very good. My training is good.
Yeah.
And last week I ran for BMC and race for Watford Grand Prix, and I went for 5000 meter.
Okay.
And I this week I ran for 10,000. Again I win. Still I'm very happy.
And what's life like in here in London? Are you happy here in London? Are you happy to be over here?
Yeah. I'm very happy here, and the future I want to run for UK. I'm really very happy here.
Excellent. Nice. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. Great run.
Sure. Thank you.
So there was no world records, but I did speak to a world record holder. Do you know that you must know Dave Bedford?
Everyone knows Bed.
Dave Bedford, yeah.
118. If you don't know him, he's the 118 man. They base the 118 man off him.
So he was there. He was having a good time. There is, if you go on his son, Tom Bedford's Twitter account, there's a video of him dancing, probably a bit inebriated, in a brolly after the event. So go and check that out. Dave Bedford, former world record holder. He was there. I chatted to him quickly about what he thought about the event in terms of how it improves the level of British distance running. And here he is now.
So we're near the finishing line here watching the women's B race with the former world record holder, Dave Bedford. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm having a great evening.
Perfect. And you've been involved with this event for a number of years now.
Yeah.
What makes it, do you think, so special in terms of British distance running?
Well, the atmosphere here is really stunning. And the closeness to the runners is great. The fact that you can have a beer here while you're watching makes it an easy evening.
Yeah.
And I think over the years as well, distance runners from the past seem to turn up almost as a
reunion.
A reunion evening.
Yeah.
And that with the great racing that we've got, and tonight we've got wonderful weather.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some great races as the evening progresses.
Yeah. And do you think, obviously, when you were at your peak of your powers, there's a lot of British guys running really quick times. Does it help to have this kind of event on the distance running calendar in terms of 10,000 metre running performance?
Well, I think it's essential now because it's almost impossible to get a 10,000 metre race of any quality for these guys coming through. Without this, I mean, this is now the British Championships, and that shows it's been taken out of the normal championships. And you could argue, okay, it's given a special elevated position here where we're just looking at the best runners.
Yeah.
So I think without that, it would be very difficult for there to be, 10,000 metre races. I think it's an event that could easily be lost without this kind of event.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think there was one year, wasn't there, a couple of years back when Ali Dixon was the only female competing, and now you've got two or three really great performances.
Yeah. And I think the word goes around the sport, have you done the night of the 10K personal best?
Yeah.
So everyone thinks that's now something I want to come and do. I've heard about the atmosphere, and sooner or later everyone will come here and do it, and that's great for the event.
Excellent. Yeah, and we couldn't get you out there running one year, Dave.
No, I'm quite happy watching with a beer.
Yeah, fantastic. Nice one. Cheers, Dave.
Pleasure.
So we should talk about the main events, the main men women's race and the main men's race. So did you see? You saw both on the BBC, or just the men's?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So the women's race. Both. Women's race. Firstly,
women's race. Yeah. They were like 100 meters ahead of the light.
Yeah. Well, she set off like the clappers. Salpeter from Israel. She was absolutely miles ahead. She looked really confident. She's a 2:19 marathon runner, so she's in the top echelon of runners. She's world class. But it was really interesting race because you got the sense that just they were really chipping along. It was Steph Twell, a pacer, and Alice McColgan all together, and they just kept on chipping away. And I never really thought they would come back, but with a couple of laps to go, you thought this gap is closing, and that Steph's going to do it. And I've talked before about one of my favourite ever races I watched was a couple of years ago when Jess Martin managed to beat Lynette Massai. And I think this one was even more special. It was an incredible finish. She came back from out of nowhere last mile, and managed to win the race. And that was really great.
And a massive PB.
And a massive PB, 31.08. Amazing. On a track like that is incredible. But the atmosphere was really good. There was fireworks.
When you say a track like that, it wasn't made of rocks.
That is a terrible track, to be honest. I've trained on that track my whole life. It's absolutely terrible. There's no give on it. Anyway.
I know on the back straight, they've cut half of lane one and they relayed it. Did you see that?
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Because they need to. It's just terrible. But she still ran well on it. So she was obviously in lane two and lane one most of the time. But yeah, she ran really well. And it was like a real scrum. I actually got in trouble on this one again, so again sticking my microphone where it was wanted. I saw Wendy Sly and Liz McColgan, right?
Where did you stick it?
Well, I know, I just stuck it in their faces, but it was, yeah, it wasn't very warranted. I think they were getting ready to watch the race, and I said, oh, hi guys, we've spoken before, and yeah, can we do a quick interview? And they're like, no, the women's race is on, Sean, sling your rook. So I left with my tail. So that was fun. I did speak to a couple of lovely Irish volunteers, though, and I'm going to put that action on now. And after
you know
that,
what you should do?
What's that?
You should spray, like, perfume or aftershave on your mic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's so when you stick it in someone's face, it smells really good, and they're like, ooh, and they try to get closer, and then, you know, you can get some answers out of them.
Yeah. So yeah, in my defence, it was wrong time, wrong place. But anyway, I enjoyed the race. I did speak to a couple of volunteers from the Highgate Club watching it with me. So we talked about what they were doing on the night. But also following that, like Steph finished the race, there was a scrum of people trying to talk to her because obviously a British winner, everybody wants to get her on. So I thought, interesting perspective, I'd try and ask her husband what she thought. And this is, you know, obviously I asked him, first question I've got to ask him is, which is the biggest accolade? Winning a mile world record while holding hands with your wife, or seeing your wife win the European Cup. So Joe's going to talk with us about that. We'll first have a quick hear from the two, from Brendy Donnelly and Fergal Smithwick, who were the two volunteers who I watched the race with. Exciting race. And we hear both of those interviews back to back now. So we're sitting on a barrier in the middle of the infield, watching the women's A race with two Highgate lads. And volunteers. Volunteers, is that right?
Yeah, I'll go for volunteers.
Yeah, yeah. And Strava Mile competitor, Brendy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The everyman entry, I would say. Yeah. Representing the middle of the pack.
And really fun race, though.
It was a fun race. Yeah.
It's good.
How's your day been? Have you been helping out, move people around, and what have you been doing today, folks?
Yeah, it was good. I arrived for a session at 10 a.m. We did the usual path loop mile reps around the track, and I saw them setting up. Pretty exciting looking at all the new stuff Ben has on this year. It's really, really cool. So absolutely loving it. Then got stuck into volunteering and just been sitting on the infield all day trying to.
And you've been cajoling Ukrainians off the infield, basically. That's
your
job.
Yeah, I'm spotting that guy at the throws area. He's kind of standing right. I'm happy with him over there, just as long as he doesn't come over to the timing chip area. That's okay.
Fine,
yeah.
And bringing all his mates over.
Yeah, that's it.
That's one Brexit party.
Once you get one in, the rest want to join. Yeah.
And we're watching a lady run on her own, miles ahead of the course in the A race. The Israeli / Kenyan
Does she happen to be Israeli? Yeah.
She's running pretty well. She's miles ahead right now, but there is some Brits still involved in the race. But it's been exciting racing, right? It's been a good, it's good thing
well,
to
I'll,
watch.
I'll tell you what, that's a really sizable pack that's chasing her. So, and it's very early on into this race. So let's just see what happens.
But she's like run sub 220 as a woman marathon runner recently, which there's about five people that can do that in the world. So she's pretty good. She looks like she's a top. She's got it under control.
Yeah, she's looking pretty comfortable.
It's a long way to run for home, bro. Yeah.
But you've done this before, Virg. What did you? How did you feel about it when you did it?
Yeah, I've done this the last 2 years. Absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed it. It's amazing, the beer tent on the other side, the cacophony and noise, and the adrenaline that gives you is incredible. And I wanted to do it this year. I was not really in PB shape, so didn't really fancy it. It's not one you want to do where when you're not in form and you'll just get spat out the back. It's a long old race, so just fancied some 5Ks instead this year.
I reckon. And I'd describe it as a bastard.
Is that right? If it goes wrong,
it's
hundreds of people looking at you.
It's pretty accurate.
It hurts. As soon as you start to hurt, you go backwards real quick. So
yeah, that's right.
Yes, I watched you the previous year having a go at that, and I just thought, if I could take that man out now. Yeah,
you should have done. What are you doing?
I'm doing him a favour.
Yeah,
but all I could offer you was water at that point. And I wasn't even allowed to hand it to you because Ben gave me a slap in the wrist.
Really?
For handing it directly to the competitors. Because it wasn't Ben necessarily, but it was the British Athletics people said, it has to be on the table for everyone else. Okay. So,
Do you want to know what the highlight of my day was today?
Go for
as
it,
a
yeah.
volunteer, though?
As a Ukrainian cajoler?
It wasn't the Ukrainian. It wasn't the Ukrainian. I was just over here just doing my job, and then the medic like rushed over. I was like, oh crap, what's going on? Like, does he need my help? What's going on? He pulls out a beer from his back pocket, hands it to me, says, I've been told to hand the baton to you.
Yeah.
And I took it. I was like, okay, great. This is nice. And thought, what the? There's only
what kind of medic gives out beer?
There's only one person that would have done that for me, and that was Brendy Donnelly, this man here. Yeah.
Creepily standing 300 metres away just waving at him.
Yeah. And you brought more beers, more warm beers.
Why not?
Good supply.
Everyone needs a good supply of warm beer.
That's true. Especially on the infield when they've got a difficult job of cajoling Ukrainians.
It's a commodity now. It's a scarce commodity in this pre-Brexit era.
Yeah. We better catch up with the action. So we're going to go back to our watching, but it's been nice to chat, guys.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you.
What was the biggest accolade there this year? Was it breaking the world record for running hand in hand on the Westminster
Mile? I think that will be with me the rest of my life. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever live that down.
But your wife, I should say for the recording, your wife, Stefa, has just won the A race. What was it like? Because I've asked a lot of people different questions here, and it's all been a similar answer, like, how did it go and how was that? What was it like, watching your wife come from miles behind to take down this salipator? What was your emotions going through that night?
It's difficult, because I'm kind of like, we're quite, in a way, different personalities. I'm always a bit scared of her getting hurt, and often she has this sort of just go for it, you know, heart on a sleeve, balls to the wall, all or nothing. And you know, that's exactly when it was needed today. She really she took it out, and it was amazing. I mean, I've got to renew my PB, I think, because she's getting close to it. Seriously.
But did you think she could, was at any stage you thought she was going to win? Because it looked over by about 3K.
I think I was cautious of people sitting on her, because she's quite a front runner, and she likes being at the front, and sometimes that's been to her detriment, but I think it was the right thing to do today, because there was a girl to chase in front, and she latched onto her, and you know.
And what was that like? Because you've won races before, what was it like to see her win such a prestigious race? What was the feeling? Was it even more special than seeing yourself win a race?
Oh, yeah, I mean, because I think for Steph, I think it's more, it feels like sort of vindication that, you know, she's been working so hard for so long, and with quite sort of, you know, we haven't really had a breakthrough for 4 or 5 years. There's been lots of sort of gradual increments. Oh, this is up there. I mean, this is the biggest breakthrough for her for a while in terms of sort of a confidence boost. And because the thing is, she's been at this level for way longer than people realise, but it's just actually getting it out at an event, you know, that reflects that fully. It's so much harder, and so much, you know, it's a lot of it's timing and just, you know, I think the coaching transition as well has been really important for Steph, because she went from
which coach to which coach.
So she was under Mick Woods obviously for, you know, most of her career, and then she went to Jeff Whiteman, obviously dad of Jake, and now sort of transitioned to more of a Steph based setup where
is that more speed work?
No, it's more, I mean, it's more sort of the dynamic is is based around Steph, and she has a few advisors rather than Steph answers to a coach and she does what they tell her, and you know, she doesn't ask any questions.
He's at each corner of the
So I think we wanted, because Steph is such a confident, autonomous, you know, front running athlete, I think she gets a lot of confidence from taking the lead herself and doing
Sean
her own things.
Sean hasn't told you about his fourth in the national cross country.
I'm still dining out on that one, Alistair. One race I ran well in my whole career, and I'm still dining out. Yeah,
but I see you have some bad ones. I've had good ones.
Fuck, I've had a lot of bad ones.
I tried to be your friend.
You did. You helped me out. That was good. But it's about Steph. You did tell me I was good, yeah. I've never run well. Have you run well here?
Once. Yeah. Actually, last year at Southerns. Yeah, I always either lose a shoe, fall over, or 1 year I missed the start.
Okay.
So let's move on to the men's race. Did you watch that? You obviously said you did, yeah. How was that race in terms of the spectacle? They weren't on the pace that well.
They were well off the pace.
Yeah.
Because even the first lap, they were all squashed up, but they're behind the green line.
Yeah.
So they obviously set off. With the green light.
Yeah.
They set off slower.
Yeah.
But the camera angles, you could only see the back straight, really, because you couldn't see the home straight.
Okay. So you couldn't really see what was going on. It was funny. I spoke to the Italian at the end, the Cripper, and he said that he was really disappointed with the pacing, actually. He said that it didn't quite, the first 5K just never gave him a chance. So he said that he was disappointed with how it went.
He convinced the Belgian to sort of take a lap each. So him and the Belgian were taking a lap each. But in the end, the Belgian blooming sacrificed his race. Yeah, it got quicker.
Yeah.
But he got smoked in the last two laps.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I've raced against him a few times, actually, that Belgian fight. He bases himself, I'm sure he's always Belgium, Netherlands is close, but I've seen him a few times on the scene. But it was a really exciting race. And again, the British guys ran really well. We had Nick Gulab was up there for majority of it. And then Ben Connor, who had a great race, came through in third place. Again, really
the stormer, but all they did was sit off.
Yeah.
And when Cripper and the Belgian were like taking the laps, they were off the pace, but then they sort of like latched on a little bit.
Yeah.
And they basically let them do all the yard work and then tagged, piggybacked for a good, which wasn't so bad.
Yeah, well,
he's still got PB.
I mean, Cripper's coming into being A-League now, isn't he? Because he's done a few really strong Diamond League races and he's probably one of the top guys around. So yeah, I don't blame him, but great racing from those guys. And the atmosphere was amazing. And actually, I managed to speak to Cripper at the end. I'll put that interview in next. Really nice guy. I mentioned a race we've run before, but he was, despite the race, despite the not running the time he wanted to, he was amazed by the atmosphere and he was really pleased to be able to run. So we're going to listen to that. And after that, I'm speaking to one of the most interesting runners in the calendar. He's on the calendar, on the scene, is Chris Jones. He's a British cross-country runner. He runs for the British cross-country team. He ran 29 low on this race. So he had a good run, but he wasn't his PB. But he's also he comes from an orienteering background. So that's his primary sport. It's quite interesting. You never really see that crossover from someone who can do orienteering at the top level to someone who can run really fast on the track. So yeah, really interesting.
Let's do the basics. If you take the compass out of their hands, it means they're lighter, so of course they're gonna run faster.
Yeah. Well, he's quick. I don't know how he's doing. I don't know how he's managing to run so quick with that.
Compass
kind of
and backpack.
Yeah.
Get rid of that. Just put running shoes and a vest on.
Yeah.
BBs.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. So we're gonna listen to those two interviews back to back now.
Yeah, yeah.
How is this race, exciting atmosphere. How did you find it compared to maybe the Diamond League races you run in? How did you find the atmosphere in the race? Because people were so close.
Maybe the people is better of Diamond League.
Yeah.
It's better because it's very, come si dice, affettuoso.
They're nice.
Yeah.
The people and 40,000 is better. Maybe it's better in the world.
And do you think that helps you to run faster times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help me run fast. But not fast because I want to run 27:40.
Yeah. And what about the missing? Do you have races like this? Do you have events similar to this?
No. In 10K?
No.
It's the last one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. But there's nothing similar in terms of competitions?
No.
No.
Not similar to this, no.
Okay. And once, I was just going to say, I've raced against you and I raced with your brother. In Bolzano, I run the Bolzano. I have family from Trento, so I go to see it in Trento.
Yeah, in Bo Classic or in Bolzano?
Yeah, Bo Classic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great race too. The atmosphere
last
is good. No, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
But I run with your brother, because you've got a brother, right?
Yeah.
It was also good. Does he have the same standard, or is he still running?
Yeah,
okay. Well, good luck. Good luck for Doha.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. So, I'm here at the end, at the finish line.
with Chris James. How did it go? How was the race?
Yeah, crack it. As good as I could have hoped for. Yeah, definitely.
What was it like? Because it was pissing with rain. The pace was suicidal. I'm not sure what the time was in the end. It must have been well under 20.
But all I know is we went through 2K in like 5:48 or 5:47, right at the back. But I mean, I thought, you know, 29.5 to 29.15 would be a really good run, so I'm really happy with that.
What was the time in the end then? What did you run?
It's 29.07, 08 or 09, something like
nice.
That. I think under 29.10.
And Con, you're an orienteer, right?
Yeah. Well,
how do you translate that speed from running around, like, you know?
I don't know.
You can't be the same, right? Training's got to be way
it's
different.
It's not the same, but it's a lot. It's quite stop-start, and you know, the top orienteers are great runners. Yeah. Like, they don't race on the track enough.
Okay.
Like, there's some really fast guys, and yeah, I'm just happy because I've been had an up and down year, been a bit injured, had an illness about 5 weeks ago that seemed to take ages.
Yeah.
But I just hid away for the first 7K and just let the other guys do the work.
Well, great. Is it PB?
No, five seconds slower, but okay. I didn't think I was anywhere near PB shape, so okay. I'm happy with that.
And the conditions weren't perfect, right?
No, I mean, I'm running in flats as well, so I was squeaking around, but yeah. I mean, I've had Achilles issues, so it wasn't worth the risk for 10K in spikes.
And what was the atmosphere like? You can't really imagine it, can you? What was it like running, coming through the beer tent?
Unreal. Like, you're warming up and you think, oh, it's loud, but then you actually can't hear yourself when you go through the tents. Like,
did it help?
It's amazing. Like, first 5K went by so quickly.
Yeah.
But it starts hurting then, about 6K, and it's a struggle to the end, but that's 10K's for you.
Yeah. Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll let you go and get changed.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers, man.
Yeah.
So we've got some other little tidbits of interviews. We've got to speak to Kojo Kairami. He is an ever-present. He's run every single year of the Night of 10Ks. We're going to have a little chat with him. And another few interviews sprinkled in now. So we're going to pick those up to tell more of the story about the day. Here they are. Oh, actually, one question before you. I tried to get some people before racing. I only really got one person. But I know, Jermaine, you've always been wanting to know, what does Mari McLennan do to before a race to keep herself nice and relaxed? You've always wanted to know that, haven't you? On this interview, you're gonna find out. Here we go.
Okay, so we're chatting to Mari before her race. How are you doing?
Good, yeah, thank you. How are you?
How's preparations been going for the big one?
Good, yeah, good. Just ticking away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been training with Sarah Ingalls for a bit, who's also on the team for the last couple of weeks. So she's been up in Edinburgh, so managed to get a good few sessions in with her. So it's a good indicator of where I'm at. So I haven't really done that much racing this season so far. I had a chest infection, so this is my second race. So baptism of fire. Just see how it goes,
Nice. And you guys have been here for a couple of days? You've been down in London?
Well, I got down yesterday. Okay. Friday.
Okay. And it's your first ever Highgate Night of the 10K PB?
No. I've been here for the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. So you know the atmosphere.
It's amazing. It's like, you know, a unique event. There's literally no other event like this in the world.
And how did you run before? Did it help you, the atmosphere?
Yeah, it's unreal. You feel like you're floating when you're going through the beer tents. Like, the momentum that the crowd gives you is unreal.
Okay, yeah. And you're feeling good? You're not feeling too nervous right now? I guess that's a difficult question to ask.
I feel all right just now. It doesn't really feel real. I'm sure when I start warming up, it'll hit me. But, I'm just, like, chilling with my dad. So.
It's nice. It's nice to relax now. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, you know, the work's done now. Just whatever happens, happens. So just go out there and enjoy the event.
And do you have any, like, tactics, any preparation that you think, any plan for the race, or you just, have you got a goal mind for time or anything, or are you just going to see it?
Yeah, I've got a time goal, but just not go off the front girls.
Okay.
Not
right.
Drown in the
there's been a lot of guys dropping out with the heat, just the humidity, I think, so it's people going a little bit too fast and too brave too early.
I think it's easy to do with this atmosphere, so you just got to be really careful in the first couple of K.
Okay, nice one. Well, good luck.
Cool, thank you very much. Cheers.
So we're standing by the On Running stand with Ambassador Kojo. How are you doing, Kojo?
Very well, thank you, Sean. Nice to see you again.
Former interviewee.
Number two, I think I was.
You were number two, yeah. Number the two. Second best behind Holly Rush. Yeah. We're standing, obviously, after your race, your ever-present, that's your seventh go
at the Highland 10Ks.
How was it? What was the experience like this time?
Wow, experience is always fantastic here. It gets better and better every year. I really like the concept of the wave light this year.
What is that then? What's that?
So, wave light. So, we had a series of lights going at a pace on the inside of the track. There was one going, a green light that was going at 29.50 pace, and the second one, which is a red light, going at 30 and a half pace. Okay. So it gave us an indication of where we were very early on, and obviously when you do struggle during the race, it's very demoralising when you see the lights disappear from you. But nonetheless, the atmosphere here, the crowd, and I think, you know, it's really good that I've been here so many years. People, I think, remember me, and it kept me going during the race, during the very tough times.
Yeah,
I didn't run as quick as I'd hoped. I ran 32.10. Unfortunately, it's my slowest of my seven high gates.
Yeah.
However, you know, I've been battling lots of injuries recently, and my main focus has been to get to the start line to maintain my ever-present status. So I'm glad that I got through it and had a nice battle with the chap in the last lap. It was a battle to finish last, and I didn't.
So what goes through your mind then when it's not going so well? How did you manage to stay? Because a lot of people dropped out today.
Yes.
How do you stay on it? What was going through? What made you keep going to the very end?
So I focus on just trying to keep my form as best as possible, keep my hips high, trying to keep my head up as well, focus on someone in front of me, or focus into the distance, and also feeding off the off the crowd as well.
Yeah.
And also, when I'm maybe, you know, for example, 12 laps out, I'm thinking, okay, that's 3 miles. And I picture myself on my morning run. I'm 3 miles away from home, and I'm now by the garage or whatever, or by that shop. And I just try and, you know, kind of maybe dissociate myself from my environment and take myself away. And sometimes that allows you to go several laps without actually realizing.
Yeah.
And I kind of just draw into that. And then, you know, 4 laps out, I'm thinking that's just a mile.
Yeah.
We do that every day without thinking. However, a mile in a race is always much harder than that first mile in your morning run. And then, of course, I think, you know, you and I, we've done lots of races shorter than, you know, 10 and shorter than 5K. So you think, well, okay, 800 metres, that's my territory, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
So you start picking up again. And then the last lap, I'm always very strong there. So I know as long as I get there, I'm not going to drop out.
Yeah.
I just go into that sprint gear from yesteryear, and it usually brings me home tidily, and that's what happened today.
Lovely. And how many more years can you keep doing this?
Well,
is the body still up for it?
It's up for it. Ben's promised me a special prize when I get to 10.
Okay.
So I can guarantee I'll be here for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So that will take me to 47 years of age.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, 47. So
surely, I've seen some guys in Ryan Island. Is it Shane Healy?
Yes.
Running sub 4 minute miles at 50.
Yeah.
Can we get you back on a mile race, Gojo? Can we get
absolutely, yeah. I would have done the Westminster Mile this year had I not been injured. I would have loved to do that. Maybe next year. Yes.
Yeah.
So, number 10 in 3 years' time is a big aim, and I want to chase Ian Smith's M45 record.
Oh, what's that?
GB record. I think it's around 30.38, something like that.
Okay.
I ran about 30.23 last year. So 30.22 last year.
Okay.
I was hoping to better that this year. I think the last 2 or 3 years I've done Highgate after London Marathon, and often 4 weeks after.
Yeah.
But ran really well.
Yeah.
I didn't do that this year. I've changed my approach and got injured, and it's been really weird. So maybe I'll just go back to doing a marathon and turning up here.
I remember 1 year I saw you doing the marathon. It might have been for a qualification for the Olympics. And
2016.
You were the most happy guy that was completely in pieces. So I saw you go past. You were barely keeping moving. But I looked up and shouted at you. You gave me a massive smile. He was still happy even though the race had gone.
That wasn't the 2016 one, because we ran that together.
Oh,
do you remember?
No, yeah,
that was your debut. It was a year after. It was last year.
Maybe, yeah.
2018, last year.
Maybe it was
year.
The world qualifier, I don't know.
Yeah, it was last year. I didn't do it 2017. I did Boston that year.
Yeah.
But I think it was last year. I was, you know, it was a lovely day. Obviously, it was very hot, not conducive for fast times. But I was enjoying it, you know. Yeah. I knew my target time was out the window.
Yeah.
But, you know, very few people get the chance to even run the marathon. You know, as athletes of our standard, we just need to apply and we get in.
Yeah.
No questions asked. So I'm always willing to. I'm always willing to enjoy it no matter what.
Yeah.
So yeah, I see someone in the crowd who's bothered to get out of bed to see me to shout for me. I'll always give them a wave.
Yeah, yeah. Nice one. Well, I bet you let you back ambassadoring.
Thank you very much.
Is that a phrase?
That's what we call it.
We'll take it.
That's what we call it.
Lovely. Nice. Yeah. Thanks for chatting, Coco.
Thank you, Sean.
See you later.
See you later.
So this is Sophie Harris talking into a furball by the side of the Highgate track. How did that race go?
Yeah, it went really well. I think I executed the plan that my coach set out for me, which is to go off super easy, quite well. Unfortunately, I stopped at 24 laps. I thought I'd finished.
No,
it was so frustrating, but it's fine. I mean, I just hang out for like 7 seconds and then decided to go again. So yeah, I pretty much jogged the last lap, but it was super fun actually.
Like, PB still?
No, unfortunately, I missed probably PB for like 15 seconds or something. So it's not the end of the world. But yeah, I think this season's been kind of challenging because I've been going off too hard.
Yeah.
So it was more about not time, about ticking off the girls in front of me and trying to start easy, get into the race and see how I go
on. How was it? Like, how did you feel like going around? Was it? Could you tell the atmosphere around the track?
Oh, going out, my coach said to me, the one thing that I want you to do is go out last. And you have to do that. And so that was the most challenging part, I think.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I started taking off the girls and the crowd's going wild, they're screaming everyone's name, whether it's mine or someone else's, it was just so motivating. And then, yeah, you have all the music as well, which is like super fun. I smiled the whole way around, so I really enjoyed it. It was great. So, yeah, do it again next year.
No, it's your first time.
First ever time. I mean, I haven't done a 10K for like 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been super long. So I had no idea what I would be doing. And so it was just really good to get back into it.
Yeah, and that is for me, 10,000 metres is the hardest track race to do because it takes so much concentration.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think you're suited to that then? Do you think you've got the ability to knuckle down and get on?
I think I'm much better
apart from doing 24 laps.
I think I'm better at long distance than I am short distance. And this is the first ever one where I've done it on track.
Okay.
And I think actually doing it and trying to just tick off girls rather than focus on time was so much better suited to me. Running for enjoyment was so much better than trying to focus on a certain time. So,
nice.
Really
and in the Red of Wales.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Like, yeah, racing for Wales is like really good. So I changed my allegiance back in sort of November. So I raced twice for the country and I've really enjoyed it. And I hope there's many more opportunities. So,
yeah, nice. Yeah, it's
awesome.
Well, congrats.
Thank you
nice
so
one.
Much.
And next time, 25 laps.
Yeah, 25. Keep going. Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, that's all of it. That's all of our little interviews. Hopefully it gave a picture of the day. And if you didn't see it, you can always try and catch up with the action. It's a new way. It's a really interesting event. And hopefully we'll see more similar events like that across the globe. And yeah, Jermaine's banging some stuff around. Are you getting ready for work?
I'm playing Fetch with a dog.
I want to say a very quick thanks to Tom Hoskin. He's provided the image of Steph and Ailish McColgan, who we're using in our show notes and on our social media. Thanks for that, Tom. You can follow him, guys, on Instagram at Tom Hoskin, or he's got a website, tomhoskin.co.uk. We'll put a little link to that on the show notes. But if you run a race in London in the last couple of years or around the country, Tom's probably captured you at some point. So go and have a look on his website, have a look at the great photos there. I'm sure you can pick one out. So we better go. One thing I should say is though, we've had another donation. Paul Calver.
What?
He gave us a tenner. That's a brilliant thing. Yeah. Well done, Paul. We're very pleased. Me and Jermaine are going to go out for a big night out on those because we all know us.
No, we're going to save up. We're going to save it up. We're saving it up.
Okay.
So we're going to go. We're going to go pro podcast all these donations.
Yeah. So that's nice. Thanks, Paul. Really kind of you to do that. I can't think of any of the shout outs. I hope the everyone has a good week. And get those reviews in. We haven't had any reviews in a while. It's nice to see those reviews piling up. So, yeah, let us know and get involved. And Achilles, stop moving that ball around. Yeah. Right. Catch you up next week, Jermaine.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.